Message. We're doing a series of miracles, but what I'm really doing right now is trying to prepare us, prepare our minds and our ways and the way we execute and operate in preparation for God to do miracles. Amen. Trying to get us to that place, and then I believe at the end of the month, it's just going to be all the messages are just on miracle messages. On healings and so forth that took place in the Bible. I spoke Wednesday dealing with the mind. I want to tap on that again. I think it's real important that our minds be dealt with, worked with, and how crucial the way we think really, really is in the building of the kingdom of God. The way we operate and the way we think, the way we tick. Amen. Some got longer fuses than others. Amen. Usually when we get a guy in the rehab, they have a real short fuse. Anything, they blow up in 2 seconds. And as we continue to grow in the things of the Lord, we get a longer fuse where it takes more to get us mad. Amen. We start to learn how to control ourselves. And we take on the spirit of self-control where it don't allow us to go around all the problems of this life, but it allows us to go through them. And there's times that you're going to be on the mountaintop, and there's times that you're going to be on the backside of the desert, and there's no way around that equation there. We would love to stay on the mountaintop, and we would love to stay with Jesus on the mountaintop, but if we were to stay positioned on the mountaintop, who's going to deal with the people in the valley? The people that you and I used to be. Who's going to take care of the need then if all we want to have in Christianity is mountaintop experiences? The mountaintop experiences are few and in between, but the valley is always there. Just as the Bible says, you will always have the poor. The valley are times and places within our lives and within our ministry. The valley is who we are. The valley times are who we are. We were in the valley running with the enemy, and we're still in the valley. We're still going. He said God used them this morning, and yet he still has these issues that he's going through. He didn't get healed, but I know something took place in his life that he's not even aware of. As he extended his hand to pray for somebody's father, he became an extension of God this morning. And he says he still has the same situations, but he doesn't. Because he has a little pep on his step. I mean, even the way he's using his computer right now, he's doing it like he has a secretary somewhere. He lit him up. And some of us need to be lit up this morning. Some of us need to get that little pep. Hey, Pastor, you ain't going to believe what happened. Because mostly when people come to my office, it's not on a good note. This is the church of God, the house of Bethel. There should be some good news taking place. There should be miracles taking place. There should be people coming to me and say, Pastor, you're not going to believe what happened. You're not going to believe. Like Keith ran into my office today. He even closed the door. Every time he closed the door, it was like, man, he's about to tell me something I did wrong again. Or at least he thought I did wrong. Should I clear that up? And man, Pastor, I just want to let you know everything you said. And man, Pastor, man, never, if I would have been in bed, that would have never happened. God just wants us in position. He don't want us perfect. He's perfect. He's perfect. And I'm excited right now because I know who God is. And just like you go through hard times, just like you're in the valley, hey, baby, I'm in there also. I'm in the trenches, I call it. Bombs going off all over the place, man. You know what I'm saying? Man, when's that mountaintop experience coming again? I haven't had one lately. But I had one this morning just by simply spending time with the Lord, being in my right mind. There's a lot of times we take things for granted, but they're really miracles that we take for granted. I know a lot of you all are miracles just by being here in church right now. Go ahead and laugh to yourself. You're saying, yeah, I'm surprised I'm here this morning. It's a miracle. I'm going to speak on the mind again, and then I'm going to come with some fresh stuff at the end. But I think it's real important to revisit this area dealing with the mind, the mindset, and the expectancy, and what the Lord has to offer. Not so much what we have to offer, but what the Lord has to offer. Too many times we get caught up in what we have to offer. We got to get in that mindset in what the Lord has to offer our lives, to benefit our lives and to benefit the lives of others. Amen. We got to think back. Just remember who we used to be. And to be used by God, that's an honor. We can't take lightly. Amen. Matthew chapter 6. And if you guys, if I don't find nobody sleeping today, I have you out of here by 12 where we can watch the Green Bay game. Amen. All right. Pastor. I better start speaking fast now. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, my Lord. I got to hurry up. Matthew chapter 6. Oh, by the way, if you guys want to watch the game with me, you're invited to Pastor Jamie's house. I'm going to watch it at his house. All right? So, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 9. The Bible reads, "This then is how you should pray." Tells me that there's incorrect ways of praying. Amen. There's incorrect ways of praying. "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." I want you to catch verse 10. I know some of you said, "Pastor, you're going to give that again." Yes, I am. It's important. Verse 10 reads, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So usually we think heaven is one place and earth is another place, and it is. But when we pray correctly, we can have the benefits of heaven here on earth, within your marriage, within your family, within your children, at the workplace, in the ministry you're overseeing in the church. Amen. Jesus is telling us that what takes place in heaven can take place on earth. Jesus speaking how we should pray regarding heaven and earth. And we know that we all live on the planet called earth. Amen. Jesus speaking and how we should pray regarding heaven and earth. I put, if anyone knows how heaven and earth operates, it would be Jesus. Amen. We know that he was in heaven on the right hand of the Father, and then he became flesh. He was sent to this world. He was born of the Virgin Mary. Amen. And he was here for 3.5 years making disciples. He was buried. He died. And he resurrected on the third day back to be at the right hand of the Father. And the promise of the Holy Spirit is here with us right now. If anyone knows how heaven and earth should operate, it would be Jesus. Not only because he lived in heaven and he lived on earth as well, but let's go to Colossians 1:16. The Bible says it goes beyond him just living there and living here on earth for a season. Amen. It says, "For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him." So Jesus not only lived in heaven and lived 3.5, give or take, years on earth, he created heaven, he created earth. So if anybody would know how to pray correctly and how heaven and earth should operate, it would be Jesus. Let's go to Psalms 146. The Bible reads, "Blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea." Right now they're still creating animals, labeling and giving names to animals that have not even been, not so much invented, but even known to man. The sea is so deep. There's still so much mystery that lies deep within the sea. Do you think Jesus knows every little speck of the sea? He created the sea. He has the manual on the sea. So he not only lived in heaven and on earth, but he's the maker of heaven and earth and of the sea and everything in them. And everything, and he just didn't create the waters. Like in the book of Genesis, he created everything in them. The Lord, who remains faithful forever. Genesis, this is the best one. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So, when Jesus says, go to opening scriptures, Matthew chapter 6, 9, 10. This then is how you should pray. He knows what he's speaking about. And too many times we want to take control of areas that we not got a clue on. And we want to talk like theologians and this and that, and we give our insight and everything when we really don't know much. But the one we serve knows everything. He's lived there. He made everything and everything in it, whether it's visible or invisible. That's the God we serve. Whether you can see or not see and get the revelation that is happening with your life right now, God is able to see it. Whether it's invisible to us, it's visible to God in what you're currently going through right now. God is able to see what we're not able to see. And what we need to do is do a Keith and remain positioned. Because I know he's a preacher, but he kind of comes and goes. I can say it now. I can let what I've been wanting to tell him, I can do it now. He comes and goes, in and out. I want to preach. Oh, man, just leave me alone, man. It's just, you know, man, how come you don't use me? I want to preach, man. I've been called to preach. Man, you know what, Pastor, man, I don't agree with the way you do this. Man, you know, I want to preach. Why not getting used? I said, you're out of position. God's good, but he needs you in position. God's able to see what you can't see. He's able to pray for your faith when you don't got faith. As he prayed for Peter and the disciples, he prayed that their faith would not waver. I was speaking with an individual today, I'm not going to give his name, about faith. It hits me sometimes. Man, is this all really real? Is this true? But I ain't going to say it's like some people say, man, I had it better off when I was a dope fiend. Lies! I will not become a dope fiend again. Because I remember it like yesterday. I'm not going to become a drug addict again. I'm not going to lose my wife and my family because I don't believe in the Lord. Because something ain't happening on my time schedule. I'm not going to quit. And yes, it's hard sometimes to believe for ourselves and for our own salvation. But we have a God that has it all together. He knows where you're at this day. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're going through. And he still wants to use you. He never calls us perfect from the first page to the last page in the Bible. We're going to be perfect when we get to heaven. And I even think some of us, this is off scripture, off, you know, the script, we'll still have some flaws in heaven. We're so messed up. Well, who's that brother up there in the corner, man? This is heaven, man. He's in heaven right now. He's one of them cats from Victor Outreach, man. Cut him some slack. At least the guy made it up here, man. Cut him some slack. But why are you looking at me all gangster, man? It's not my fault my house is a little bit bigger than his. Take that up with God. I think some of us, we're going to get there with Jesus and we're going to post up on Jesus. Because we're bad. We come to find out here that Jesus got all this put together. But he needs us. He needs the many parts of his body to come together right now. And sometimes we come together and we got it going on and we're all on a high. And there's sometimes that we're not on that high, but we need to still keep coming together and be that body of that's in one. We need to continue to come together even when we can't see it for ourselves. The only way to consistently do God's will, I put here, on earth as it is in heaven, is by having a renewed mind which allows godly perspective to take place within the way you think. You can be saved for many years and still think real murderous thoughts. It can happen to anybody. The battle of God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven is in the mind. It's not that you're a bad person. You're God's creation. You're part of what He created. In His image, you're not a bad person. No matter what mama told you and daddy told you your whole life, you're a creation of God. When He created you, He said, it is good. Sin entered the garden. Sin entered our lives. And that's when we started doing things that we shouldn't have been doing. But then through the new covenant of Jesus on the cross, you know, He gives us grace and mercy to come clean, to be washed. And what He did at the cross, to be able to be in church this day, don't take for granted that you're in church this day. You could be somewhere else this day. But you find yourself at church, it's a good place to be this morning. But the mindset at times is, I really don't want to be here, I'm just here because of obedience. Mind is essential in bringing heaven reality kingdom to the problems and crises people face here on earth. I'm going to share real quickly to get to the new stuff I have, which is short and to the point, but let's go to Matthew 17, 1 through 5. This is taking place while Jesus here on earth with His disciples. I'm not going to count. I think those five or six on this account there with Him. Could be wrong with that. I'm not counting right now. This is when Jesus, the transfiguration on the mount where Jesus changed in His appearance. Amen. It says, after 6 days, Jesus took with Him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. Three, I'm talking about another scripture I was going to read. Three, amen. It says, there He was transfigured before them. He led them to a high mountain. The Bible says, verse 2 says, there He was transfigured before them. How is He transfigured? The Bible says His face shone like the sun, and His clothes became as white as the light. Just then, this is taking place on earth, on a high mountain, amen? Just then appeared before them Moses and Elijah come out of the woodwork, amen? They're on that high mountain now with Jesus and the disciples, amen? Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If You wish, I will put up three shelters, one for You, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While He was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is My Son whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. Listen to Him. So here we have Jesus, three disciples. All of a sudden, Jesus' face is transfigured, as bright as the sun. His clothes changes as white as light. And then all of a sudden, Elijah appears, and all of a sudden, Moses pops up on the scene. And then Peter's tripping and says, man, I dig this. And then as he was still speaking, the Bible says that God shows up through a cloud on the scene. It was almost like all the heavy hitters of heaven were on this mountain now. And the three disciples are tripping. Peter's the one that's in with it. He's good. This word transfigured is the same word we find in Romans 12:2, the word transformed. It means to change. It means to change. His face wasn't looking the norm about Jesus would look like when He walked with disciples. Something took place where His face became as bright as the sun. His appearance literally changed. His appearance literally changed. Here in speaking and dealing regarding the mind, in Romans 12:2, I put here, the renewed mind reflects the reality of heaven. When our mind starts to become renewed by the word of the Lord, by the spirit of the Lord, by mountaintop experiences, by altar call experiences, by praying God using you as he did Keith today on the way to church. That's why it's important to be prayed up before you even get in your car. He was able to use Keith. He was in position. And Keith didn't go up there and say, yo, man, you want a 20? How much you want? Right? He went to go pray for the man's father. He's been changed even though he's still going through changes. His life has been changed. That's not the old Keith of the old. I remember the old Keith of the old. Kind of still looks the same. He probably got another 5 or 10 on the Dunlap over. Amen? You know what the Dunlap disease is? Dunlap disease is Dunlap over. Amen? But I got to know I could get away with anything dealing with Keith right now, because the Spirit of God is here. And if he gets mad, he'll make himself look real bad in front of all you guys. We have a good turnout this morning. So what's up? That's what I thought. Sucker. I've been always wanting to get that out. I got it out in a Sunday morning message. Praise the Lord. I am up to par with Keith, man. We're even now. When I get back, I get back. His life's been changed, and he knows it. Even through his ups and downs, he knows the Lord has changed him. Is the work fully done yet? No, the work ain't fully done in my life yet. Here, the face and the appearance of Jesus changed. All of a sudden, Moses, Elijah, and the voice of God through the cloud was there, and all of a sudden, the atmosphere on that mountain changed for the good. Peter liked it. Peter said, I can do this, man. I'm willing to build 3 shelters right now for you cats, man. I can do this. I believe Peter was on that mountaintop saying, did he have to pick the highest mountain? Oh my God. That's a revelation from the third heaven right there. The Bible says that Jesus took him to a high mountain, to a higher place. And I believe Peter was saying, oh my God, couldn't you just counsel us on this little hill, man? Why do we got to do all that? Couldn't we just take care of this Jesus on this little mountain? I got things to do. I got to go to work tomorrow morning. But Jesus took him to a higher mountain. Because there was something he wanted to show into the life of Peter that was good. But that was going to come at a higher level, a higher elevation than where he was at. And always questioning everything and putting his foot in his mouth. I believe after that took place and Peter was changed, all of a sudden he forgot how tired he was. He says, I know I'm tired, but I don't feel tired. Because when you're in the presence of the Lord and you do what's right and God uses you, all of a sudden you get out of what you've been thinking about and you start caring and thinking about somebody else. The Spirit of the Lord is speaking this morning real clear, real clear. He used Keith this morning. He was showing Keith something. That I can use you in the alley before you get to church, but I need you in position. I need you in position. What if Keith said, man, you don't want me to pray for your dad, man. Hey, man, maybe next Sunday, man. Catch up with me next Sunday. Jesus had a revelation for Peter. He has a revelation for all of us here this Sunday morning, whether it's visible or invisible. He has a revelation that he wants to get to you. For you and to work through you. He's got a revelation that comes from heaven. Moses, Elijah, and God through the cloud. That was a heaven experience that was taking place on earth. And he would use three disciples to have an experience, but an experience at a higher level. And that's what the Lord is trying to do right now with some of you. He's trying to get you to a higher level. And the devil don't want you to get to that higher level experience. That's what the Lord is trying to do this morning. This is not on the notes. And there's always a battle. There's always a storm before the calm. There's always a battle before the victory. And God is trying to move in somebody's life here this morning. I'm just opening my mouth right now. I'm letting God speak right now. He's got a plan and a calling upon your life, but he wants to take you to a higher place than you are right now. He wants to take you to a place where heaven is able to come down and what it has to offer be there and benefit your life and operate through your life. But too many times, give the Lord a clap offering. Too many times we settle with what work has to offer. We settle for what a paycheck has to offer. We settle ourselves short of an experience that a job at work cannot give you. Jesus is looking for someone this morning, and he's asking you, are you willing to go to this higher place? It's going to come with a price, but it's going to bring a revelation that you've been praying for, that you need right now in your life. Some of you sell yourself short in what the Lord has for your life. You sell yourself short. The renewed mind reflects the reality of heaven the same way Jesus' face shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as the light. When we get saved, our mind changes. It's supposed to change as much as the face of Jesus changed. That same word, transfigured and transformed, is the same Greek word. It means to change. When we're praying right and you're doing what's right, your thinking does not remain the same. It can go back to thinking the same in a heartbeat. But you can regroup and say, no, man, I don't do that stuff no more. Homie, don't play that. I don't get down like that no more. Because anybody can get down like that, but not all can go to that higher place. Some of you are looking for a greater revelation. Jesus saying, are you willing to pay the price? Some of you want some heavy revelation right now. And Jesus saying, there's a price to be paid. We want the benefits, we want the bells and whistles, but are we willing to make that climb to that higher mountain? Not in our own strength, but that higher climb to that higher mountain with Jesus. With Jesus. Give me that scripture, whichever one it says, when he took him to the mountain. Go back. Nope. Go to the next. Yep. Nope. Go back. You getting nervous, Chris? Go back. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. See, Jesus is trying to lead some of you right now with him. With him to a higher place, to a higher revelation that you need in order to get to that next level. It's okay sometimes if you're not feeling it, if you feel that you're stuck. Jesus has a way of coming around through his word, through the praise and the worship. When you're in position, he has a way of calling your name out. He has a way of getting you to a place that you can't get on the way you think. Our minds need to be transformed, transfigured. They need to change. It simply means they need to change. The way we think needs to change. Romans 12:2, let's go back. The Bible says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Just put world, put earth there. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus here, through Paul, is saying, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What's going to get you out of the pattern of this world? The transformation and the renewing of your mind. Of your mind. That's why one day you think highly of me, the next day you want to kill me. It's your mind. I haven't changed. I haven't gone nowhere. But he transformed them by the renewing of your mind. Then, see, it's when our mind, our way of thinking changes, then it goes on, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. In other words, what takes place in heaven. Amen. Then, when your mind changes, we take on what Christ wants to give our lives. Amen. It says, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. See, we need to tap into a good, pleasing, perfect will that only Jesus can give. But too many times she's so darn pretty. I know she's good and pleasing, and her will and I will be perfect. Ain't happening. Oh, if I only get that job. Oh, it pays so much money. If I only get that job, my life will become good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Wrong answer. Wrong answer. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God does not want us thinking like the world does, even though we live in the world. The Bible says we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. God does not want us thinking like the world does, but the way heaven thinks, the way heaven operates. I put here some of the new stuff I got is we can't afford to live only in what we understand. Too many live in just what they understand and they stay there. We can't afford to live only in what we understand, because then we don't grow or progress anymore. Some of you sometimes say, hey man, I'm just good right here where I'm at. Leave me alone. No, Pastor, I don't want to go up that mountain. You go up that high mountain. You go hang out with Jesus and Moses and the guys. I'm staying here. I want to live the way I've been living. Everything's good with me right now. We can't afford to live only in what we understand, because then we don't grow or progress anymore. I put here, it's important that we expose ourselves to the unknown. It's important that we expose ourselves to the unknown. That's why I put here, the Christian life is called the faith. The faith. A lot of times our understanding under pressure usually gravitates towards the past. The way we understand, the way we think, even if we're having a good day, when we become under pressure, we will usually gravitate to who we used to be by the understanding on the way we see things and the way we operate. When we get mad, we go back. We need to get to the place when we go mad, we go forward. But too many, when you get mad, you want to become that old man, that old woman in 2 seconds flat. Jesus wants to take you to a higher level, a higher mountain that you've been at before, and it's going to call for faith. You're going to be tested. But man, the revelation that comes with it, the experience that comes with it that no one else will get, is well worth it, I promise you. I wouldn't do what I do if the revelation wasn't worth it. It's worth it. It's well worth it. Amos 9:13, getting ready to close, because there's a promise made by the pastor. The days are coming, declares the Lord. We're living in these days. When the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman, and the planter by the one treading grapes. New wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all the hills. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman. What does that mean, Pastor? I'm going to give it to you. Simply meaning the seasons, in the end time that we're living in, the seasons won't be normal anymore. Usually when there's a field and you sow seed and all this, there's a process. Amen. You plow the field first, amen. You plant the seed, you water it, then you gotta wait seasons, months and months for it to grow. And then you got to really wait until it bears its fruit, whether it's corn, grapes, or whatever it is. And then you harvest it, right? It's a season, and some fruits and vegetables take longer than others, amen? But there's a season. There's a structure of preparing the soil, amen? And then planting the seed, the watering, the caring, and the grooming, and the plant grows, whatever it may be, whatever, however months pass by. And then there's the reaping, the harvesting part. The Bible says that the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman. And what that simply means is that everything will happen so quickly that the seasons will overlap one another. It's like the guy that's plowing. The guy with the seeds passing them up and say, man, you're going too slow, bro. I got to drop some seed. And then the other guy that's doing the water, hey, bro, you're going too slow. I'm watering the ground. And then the harvest is going to come up, and they're going to overlap one another. Everything's going to start happening quick. The reaper will be overtaken by the plowman. The plowman's the one that softens the ground. The reapers, you're reaping the harvest, and the guy's already plowing, running you over before you even get the harvest. It's telling us that times are going to go quicker. Times are going to go quicker, and we're living in these times right now. But you need to have a heaven kingdom mentality in what the Lord wants to do right now in your life and through your life. Our minds got to be clean. They got to be fresh. The Bible says that things are going to start happening quick. Everything will happen so quickly that the seasons will overlap one another. A supernatural season when understanding will come much more quickly and bearing fruit much quicker as well. I put here, we already see acceleration in history in the development of technology, science, and medicine. The knowledge of man is quickly increasing right now. The knowledge of man is quickly increasing. Some for the good and the majority for the bad. The knowledge of man. I mean, they got hotels and everything on Mars and the moon, and they got movie stars and everything living up there already. Oh, come on, Pastor. Facebook it, man. Or PM me if you want to. I'm learning that phone, man. Keeping tabs on you guys. We already see the acceleration taking place in the time we live right now. Everything's moving fast, and this is my last point. But don't think for a moment, I put here. It says, everything I go through, I know God's about to do something, man. Even I got throw blows and patadas in there. Everything I go through, I know in my spirit something good's about to happen, so I got to keep speaking it. But it's God speaking it through me. I understand how a man or a woman can get bummed out and have a bad season, because I have it myself. But I keep punching, I keep kicking, and I keep going forward. I said, but don't think for a moment that God will not do equally for the church in spiritual matters. I believe in my spirit that God's going to start raising up men, women, and youth quickly. He's going to start giving you understanding, the understanding of heaven. He's going to start pouring out His calling upon your life where you can't even be disobedient if you want to.
mothers and fathers, you're going to start seeing your sons and daughters, and you're going to take a step back and say, what? No, man, I can't be my son. I love my daughter. Shh, get out of the way, Mom. I'm passing you up. I'm plowing you over. You've been moving too slow. Get out of the way, Dad. God's got a calling upon my life. I got to move. I got to do it today. God has called me today. God's given this understanding and wisdom to science and math and medicine and all these things. That you got to be an Einstein and have an IQ of whatever, whatever. But God's looking for a few normal, locals, crazy people, uneducated, that have been there and there and everywhere else, and then some. That He can work quickly in these end times that we're living in. But we can't be like the Mexican, mañana, mañana, lo hago, mañana, mañana, que mañana, que nada. Tomorrow ain't promised. But too many times we throw a little seed once in a while and put our hands to the plow once in a while. The Bible says, man, that declares the Lord, when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman and the planter by the one treading the grapes. New wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all the hills. God just ain't going to let the devil have his way. God's not just going to let the devil have his way. That's why we got to be believing in God right now. He made a spectacle of the devil on the cross. If he did, if that's the way he left this earth, man, can you imagine how he's coming back to this earth? If he left, dead for you and I, resurrection power, can you imagine how he's coming back for us? But man, we got to have our hands to the plow, man. We got to start moving. We got to start working. We need new people right now getting involved. It don't take forever to have your mind changed. It don't take forever to give that cigarette up, that drinking, whatever it may be, that woman that you know is cancer. You're better off smoking cigarettes than hanging out with her. It's poison. It's stopping you, preventing you. You're going to get ran over by somebody that's been in the church a few months because you want to stay stuck in your thinking and, oh, this dumb stuff don't work for nobody. Who do they think he is? If I had my choice, I wouldn't be here right now. That stuff ain't going to work. God's going to start calling men and women. That's why the leadership right now, if there's ever been a time, us leadership, we got to step it up, man. Including myself. I'm paper thin, baby. I don't hide nothing. What you see is what you get, whether I'm in the church, on the roof, in my bedroom, what you see is what you get. I'm not somebody different somewhere else. And I do my best to accommodate all you guys and the knowledge that God has given me to this point. And I've been real nice. I've been telling the leadership, I'm pulling out the belt, man. I'm pulling the belt out. Some of you need to be chastised right now. If you're a true, legit son of God, daughter of God, you're going to take the chastisement. It's good for you, right, Keith? Still haven't let Keith alone, boy. I got to get all my bullets out. That'll be as we stand this beautiful day. I don't care what you're going through. It might be your first service and you felt something. Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. You don't have to feel much, because just a little from the Lord goes a long ways. My famous saying, little is much when Jesus is in it. Little is much when Jesus is in it. Matter of fact, we just need the faith of size of a mustard seed. Just a little bit. Just a little bit of faith. The Bible says is able to move mountains. And I know the majority of us got mountains that are in our way and doing God's will. But the Bible says just a little bit of faith in Jesus is able to move them mountains. Just a little bit. You don't have to be all perfect. You don't have to be all about this and that and then some. You don't have to be Michael Jordan. You don't have to be Pastor Charlie. Be you. Be you. Be the one God saved.